All right, Mr. Hockenberry, thanks for coming in. What'll it be today?
Hey, Doc, I'm here for an MRI and some blood work. Just want to see how everything's running.
Good idea, no problem. I'll just hook you up. Just climb into the dark tube here.
Okay, there we go. Squeeze in. I noticed that you don't have a price posted on your sign there.
Price? Posted? What do you think this is, a gas station? Now just lie back.
Man, that's loud.
Yeah, we're getting great pictures. Just sit still while the nurse takes your blood.
Ouch, that's a lot of blood. A
lot of tests, Mr. H. There we go.
Okay, how much do I owe you?
Got me. How much do you got? Why don't I just take it all?
I can't do that. I'll give you a couple of hundred. Is that okay?
Well, that'll work today.
Today? What do you mean today? What's the price of an MRI and some blood tests?
Got me. On Tuesday, it's different than Wednesday. Today's Friday, and did you drive here?
Yes.
That adds 20 bucks more.
What?
But if your wife came with you today, we could knock off 50 more even.
That's insane. Look, how much does an MRI cost you?
You mean how much does it cost for me to give someone an MRI?
Right. What?
Well, that's a good one. I have no idea. No one has ever asked that one. How much is an MRI? As if I would know.
This silly scene is actually a true story in healthcare. An MRI at Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City will have one price, but the price is probably going to be different than an MRI down the street at Weill Cornell or at the Cleveland Clinic or the Mayo Clinic or UCLA Medical Center. The president wants healthcare costs for consumers to come down. But Dr. Vivian Lee says that's impossible unless doctors understand their own costs. And she says they don't. And she's the CEO at University of Utah Healthcare, where they give a lot of MRIs.
It's funny you mention MRI because I am a radiologist, so I've spent a lot of time around MRI machines. One of the questions that our team asked was, what does it cost for every minute in the MRI scanner, every minute in the OR, every minute in the ER? Because once you fully appreciate the cost, then you can really start to question, well, how much time do we need to be spending in that scanner to make a good diagnosis and to be able to help the patient? And so, yes, to answer your question, we did calculate what it costs for every minute in each of those settings.
Now, knowing the cost, though, doesn't mean that you have to give up this negotiation process, because it depends on whether you're dealing with Medicare or which insurance provider, or if you're dealing actually with an indigent, the amount of revenue coming from each one of your customers can differ radically, right? So that doesn't change here so much.
You know, that's a great question, John. And one of the real drivers right now is what we call payment reform, or changes in the ways in which we are paid for delivering health care. And I think that at the core of it, these changes in payments, which Secretary Burwell is really driving out of HHS, which will really impact Medicare and Medicaid, and similarly many of the large health insurance companies are also driving, is actually really critical to our future, I think, in this country, because what they're trying to drive is, rather than having each particular component negotiated and then the price negotiated for each part, whether it's an MRI or a CAT scan or a drug that you might have to take, instead what they're saying is, you know, let's pay providers for delivering great outcomes for patients. So if a patient comes in for a total hip replacement, if they have a great outcome, let's just pay providers a fixed lump sum for taking care of the patient and let them manage all the details of it. And in order to do something like that successfully as a healthcare system, we need to be able to internally measure the costs, measure the quality, measure the outcomes for each of those patients. So I think in order to help fix our healthcare system, we need to think about connecting more rationally the way in which we get paid to the kind of outcomes that our patients want. And for us to succeed in that environment, we need to have tools like our value-driven outcomes tool at the University of Utah.
Are patients better partners in keeping costs down if they know the cost of the services that they're getting, whether they're even paying for it or not?
We really believe in transparency. I think that patients, when they're engaged in their health care and when they understand what is happening, that's a better outcome for everyone, not just patients, but their families too. It's a team effort. At the University of Utah, about maybe 2.5, 3 years ago, we actually undertook one of the first steps in transparency and in really gauging patients when we decided to post all of our patient satisfaction scores and comments from all of our patients that we receive on all the surveys that we get from them online. And we did this at the end of 2012. I think we were the first in the country, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a real success in terms of the way in which our patients felt about being able to have more insight. I mean, if you think about it, you wouldn't buy a toaster oven without looking for those 5 stars on Amazon or booking a hotel without looking at TripAdvisor, for example. Why should you have to pick a physician without knowing a little bit about what other patients thought about them?
If everybody did this, how much money do you think would be saved across the system in the U.S.?
There was an Institute of Medicine report a few years back that said about 30% of the healthcare dollar is lost due to waste. And I'll just tell you a story from our experience with our value-driven outcomes tool, this tool to measure outcomes and costs in healthcare at the University of Utah. And for about a year and a half, at the very beginning of this project, about 3 years ago, we started with a pilot project on total joint replacement, total hips, and total knees. And we measured outcomes, which were all, thankfully, very, very strong, consistently strong across all of our orthopedic surgeons. We also looked at costs. And when we gave this tool to our orthopedic surgeons, what they were really focused on was patient outcomes and really driving quality. They developed something called a perfect care index, and so they were driving towards perfect care for every single patient every time. And over the course of the year, while they were driving the quality continuously up, we saw a 32% reduction in costs, our costs to perform a hip or knee replacement. And that was without any financial incentive or inducement and with continued improved quality and very high patient satisfaction scores.
Dr. Vivian Lee is the CEO of the University of Utah Healthcare Center. Dr. Lee, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, John.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. If it's hard for a CEO at a major university hospital to know the costs of healthcare, what are consumers to do?
This is Celeste from Stillwater, Oklahoma. I was shocked that it cost over $3,000 after insurance coverage to have my son. We have good insurance, but still paid a lot of money for a birth without complications.
Here at The Takeaway, we call it RX sticker shock from Louisville, Kentucky. I went to the emergency room because I had a small crack in my elbow. They took one x-ray and put a cast on my arm. The charge, $2,900. Not only was I shocked, I was outraged. Hey, I can't do much about the x-ray, but I would be happy to put on that cast for, say, $150. Okay, $75. Portland, Oregon. My wife was home alone while I was gone on business. Our daughter had a bad stomach ache. The nurse hotline recommended she go to the ER. Long story short, she was fine, but it was scary, and it cost $750 for 15 minutes worth of consultation. Ouch.
My name is Chelsea Jacobus, and I'm from Somerville, New Jersey. My hospital sticker shock experience happened when I was younger. I was charged $1,200 for an emergency visit to the hospital, where they gave me a diagnosis of keep an eye on it. I had no insurance and barely the money to pay the bill, which didn't even come with a resolve to my problem. Later, I learned that the bill was only the doctor's fee and that I still owed another $800-some to the hospital.
This is Jennifer Miller calling from Glenrose, Texas. My son had a $60,000 tonsillectomy last year. $25,000 of that was for the recovery room alone. I could have fed the kid popsicles, monitored his vital signs, and watched Paw Patrol with him at home for less than $5.
Hey, Jennifer, you may have some tonsillectomy rehab takers at that price. Just better buy a few futons. From Royal Oak, Michigan, I don't feel like the charges are fair. I make an appointment with a specialist 3 months in advance, get an x-ray, see the doctor for 10 minutes, only to find out nothing, and then leave. A month later, I'm hit with a $500 bill, and for what?
Holly Freeman from Portland, Oregon. I'm really fortunate to have medical and dental coverage now, but when I was in graduate school, I used the campus clinic. At one point, I needed treatment for a cat bite that became a serious issue, and the antibiotic ended up costing me several $100 over several weeks. Working for $5 per hour at the time, my treatment took me over 6 months to pay off after asking for loans from a couple of very lovely friends.
Holly, you know, I say lose the cat, but that's just me.
Victor Manuel, Arlington, Texas. My daughter was born during the month before my health coverage at work kicked in. The sticker price for two nights and a berth was $3,500.
My name is Laura Koss. I'm calling from West Belmar, New Jersey. After explaining that I didn't have insurance, an emergency room doctor insisted that a plastic surgeon would be the best person to stitch my eyebrow. I told the doctor that because the future scar would be concealed within my eyebrow, I didn't care if he stitched it with a yarn and a crochet hook. Nonetheless, I was stitched by the plastic surgeon, and later I received a bill for more than $5,000.
This is Jack from Austin, Texas. I broke my foot surfing while in Oaxaca, Mexico, and I went to a hospital. I had multiple doctors see me. I had multiple x-rays. I had a cast put on. And at the end, I asked them in Spanish where I go to pay, the cashier. And they just looked at me with a very confused look. They didn't even have a cashier's office, free of charge.
I love that one. But no one tell Donald Trump that story. He's not a surfer, but he may want some discount plastic surgery for the campaign. Donald, go to Mexico. Free nose jobs. Tell us your story. 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's our number. And you can always find more at thetakeaway.org. Also, take us with you. Subscribe to the Takeaway podcast. You can find us on iTunes and take us with you on your commute home from work. A great way to stay up on the news. Find us on iTunes or any other service you use to get your podcasts. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.